Hi, Richard.
Hi, Valerie.
How are you?
Hi. Okay, how's it going?
It's going good. Think we're the only two here at the moment, so. Hi, Chuck.
Hello. You're in a sunny place. That looks nice.
I know. I live all the way out in the East Bay, and so yeah, it's different than San Francisco. I was there yesterday and it was so like cloudy and cold.
Exactly. All the things you don't want.
Yeah. Exactly. Hi, Bill. Hi, David.
Hi, good afternoon. How are you today?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing well. I'm doing well. Yeah. I mean, kind of feeling a little more optimistic after the verdict. So I think that's encouraging.
Yeah.
How are you doing?
I'm doing good. Thank you. Hi, David.
Hey. Sorry, I'm late.
No, you're right on time, honestly.
So I clicked the link on this thing and it was not the
Yeah, no, I didn't realize that until I clicked it and it was asking for the passcode and I was putting in the passcode and it wasn't working. So hopefully everyone, did you all happen to just use the one that was in the notice?
The email, yeah.
Okay, cool.
Yeah. So sorry, y'all.
Oh,
But
no.
I'll wait till everybody else gets here. Will is Mark gonna join us for this meeting?
I assume he will. I haven't heard that he won't, so
Took me a while to find this meeting. I don't know why I had so many different links. My apologies. My bad.
That's consensus. That's fine.
Per usual. The huge. So inept. Wow. I'm going to change your name, Bill, because iPhone 415 is so unattractive. I'm going to turn you into your actual name.
Chat. All right, so 1, 2,
Well,
that's it.
quorum for steering, as you know, is built on representation rather than numbers. And it looks like because Elaine is excused, we actually surprisingly have quorum because Richard represents community engagement, Chuck represents council affairs, David represents council affairs, and co-chairs. Done.
Oh, really? That's it?
Yep.
All right. All right. Well, should I get started? Should I wait 2 more minutes?
Oh, we're 5 after now. You might as well get started.
All right. Well, it's 3:05, so let's get this started, and I'll skip through some of the stuff pretty quickly. So yeah, welcome to the steering the HIV Community Planning Council steering committee meeting for April 22nd. So we should do quick introductions really quickly. So why don't we go ahead with Richard?
Hi, everyone. Good afternoon. I'm Richard Sullivan, co-chair, full council member, co-chair of the community engagement group. And hello.
All right. Hello, welcome. And then next, I got Chuck.
Chuck Adams with Council Affairs.
Great. And then see who else do I have here. We'll go to Bill. Oh, you're on mute, Bill. It's good to unmute you.
Sorry about that. Hi, Bill Bloom. I'm with HIV Health Services and subbing in for Kevin Hutchcroft during his absence.
Fantastic. And then let's see, who else do I have here? Valerie?
Valerie Etacudo, council staff.
All right, Mark?
Mark Bolnar, council staff.
And I have Sue present.
Did you say Sue?
Yes.
Okay, I'm Sue Wahlberg-Smith. I have my camera off because I'm in a bad air, kind of a bad cellular area, but I'm with Merck.
Oh, welcome.
Thank you very much.
All right, great. So let's review and approve the April 22nd agenda. I have that. Well, I don't have that. Mark has it up on screens. If there's any additions or changes, let us know now, or else we'll just approve this by consensus. Any changes, Mark?
Nope, this is a pretty short meeting. Be out of here before 4.
Yeah. Okay, great, fantastic. Right, seeing there's no changes, we'll approve that by consensus. Next, I have review and approve the March 18th steering minutes from the meeting last time, sorry. This is my first time actually running one of these meetings from home, and I have my dog next to me. It's a little annoying.
I see the difference. So we have here our pro forma 1 through 5. We had a CHEP update. I don't think Kevin was at that meeting, so we did not have an HHS update. We had our work group updates from Community Engagement Council Affairs membership, a brief update from PLWH Advocacy Group. For the record, we want to note that Ken Pierce has just joined us. We had a review of a presentation from one of the ETE grantees. That was Craig Esprey from the East Bay AIDS Project. And then we did a meeting evaluation as a brief reminder for council members about engagement with members of the public. We reviewed the full council agenda, and that's all she wrote.
Great. Thank you. So if there are no changes or any friendly amendments, I'd like to approve the meeting minutes through consensus. All right, great. And then Ken, we just did introductions. Do you introduce yourself?
Sure. Ken Pierce, at large steering committee.
Fantastic. Thanks. Welcome. Thank you. All right. So next we have announcements. Are there any announcements from the council members or from staff?
No,
all
for
right.
Staff.
All right, great. So there'd be none. Public comment. Is there any public comment? All right. Moving forward, next on the agenda, we have CHEP and HHS updates.
It didn't sound like Thomas was going to be able to join us because he's on vacation, so that'll just be an HHS update from Bill.
Fantastic. Thank you.
Give me one quick second to pull that up. I'm new in this, but I will be there in one sec. Do you want to go to the next agenda item and give me 1 minute to pull it up?
Sure. I guess next would be just the committee and work group updates, which is committee updates. On the agenda, I have community engagement committee.
Yeah, I can take care of that. Our April 7th meeting, the Community Engagement Council Just briefly, we had a public comment from Beth Neary. She announced that HHS received their Ryan White Part A Award. It was a public announcement. Also, HCAP, Stephen Spanos, he reported to us that clients are experiencing issues with rent payments because some of their Ryan White funds aren't being accepted. He's working to support clients in addressing this issue. Down at the needs assessment and COLA targets, there was a motion by Derek Mapp to incentivize upcoming COLAs. That motion was passed by roll call vote. Also, there was a motion to approve ASL language capacity services and current and former SIP residents as 2021 COLA targets. That motion was passed by consensus. Our next community engagement meeting is scheduled for Wednesday, May 5th.
Right. Awesome. Thank you. Next, we have Council Affairs.
David, I have it pulled up, so whenever you want to slot me back in.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we'll go back to you. Yeah. Council Affairs, you want to take this one?
Sure. We did the folks from Impact, the ETE grantee in East Bay, discussed their secret client model, which led to a nice discussion. And then Stephen Spano did the HCAP annual report. And then we did looked at the work plan, and then that was all we did.
Right. Yeah, we're looking at the work plan specifically as we go into summer. So I think, we should be able to hammer some of that stuff down since things are changing. You know, we didn't expect the pandemic to get this far, but I think it's sort of like, you know, shifting as we go. All right, great. And then next I have membership committee update.
I'll do that one by pulling up the agenda since Elaine is excused. So the committee reviewed the demographic report. We are in need of, we continue to be in need of youth representation, and now we have a need for Black council members as well due to a couple resignations as we'll soon hear, one resignation. And then we did the attendance report. Oren Allen, unfortunately, is currently on probation. He has been unresponsive to council staff's more recent attempts to connect with him. And so being on probation, of course, means he does not have a vote. He will hopefully make this full council meeting. We shall see. As I mentioned, he has been unresponsive. He'll need to make at least the next couple of meetings to get back into compliance. Second, Antoine Matthews has resigned from the council effective this month. And third, Lily Krutel, who is our representative from CBHS, specifically around mental health, has put forward the idea of being replaced by a former council member, Zachary Davenport, who is now working alongside her again. Her duties have changed. This won't happen immediately, but what she'd like to do is just sort of do a trade-off, much as how she came onto the council. Membership discussed and thought this was fine. There'll be no need for an interview, but of course he will submit an application. I'm sorry, they will submit an application, and then they will be voted on at the full council, skipping the interview since Zachary was interviewed and accepted quite recently. And moving on, there was some discussion around recruitment. And that was pretty much it for that meeting.
Great, awesome, thank you. All right, now we'll do
update. Dave did tell me he was planning on attending this meeting, but I don't see him here. So I will provide the information that he provided, which is that it sounded like two or three PLWH council members did reach back to him. It's not the number that he was hoping for, of course, but two or three did. And so the next meeting of the PLWH advocacy group has been set. It will be the Tuesday before community engagement. We'll send a notice out for that. Dave will actually be on vacation, so I'll probably be handling the logistics of that meeting, and either myself or one of my team will be able to be there for that meeting. So at least it has been set, and hopefully attendance will be up by the time that meeting occurs. We'll see. Looks like Ken had his hand up as well.
Great, Ken.
A couple questions to Mark. Mark, did we get any feedback on the resignations from the African American council member? And isn't Oren one of the members that we've gone through this a couple times before, where he's kind of dropped out and come back, dropped out and come back?
Correct. So with your I'll start with your second question first. He is. It will be something that the membership committee will have to take into consideration when his renewal comes before them within a couple months, actually. It has been an ongoing challenge, unfortunately. This is, of course, an automatic process as well. If a council member misses a certain number of meetings within a 3-month period, they are automatically put on probation. Membership can always intervene if there are extenuating circumstances or at least context provided by that council member, but that hasn't really been the case in this situation. And then there is automatic removal if a council member continues to not appear or to provide any rationale or reason or even just communication with council staff. So I'm not sure what would happen first if Oren continues to miss meetings and to not communicate back with council staff, namely me. I don't know which will come first, automatic dismissal or his renewal application, but either way, if the non-communication continues, the matter will work. As far as your first question goes, as far as I know, Ali has not received an exit interview. That's the phrase I was looking for. We hope to get one, of course, but we'll see. It sounds like there are transitions happening with Antoine's position, and so I'm not sure he'll have the bandwidth, but we hope to get one.
So with Antoine and Michelle Spence and now possibly Oren, this is why we need to ramp up African American.
Right. Exactly.
Right. All right.
Exactly.
And in terms of the PLWH, is there any idea of what your agenda is going to be for a meeting, or are you just meeting?
It'll be an open agenda. Since there are no council, since there are no work group co-chairs to really design the agenda, and I know that as a person who is HIV negative, I would feel uncomfortable drafting a very specific agenda. So it'll be an open discussion. There'll probably be one sort of pro forma on there, which is to elect new work group co-chairs. Then beyond that, it'll just simply be open discussion about what the group would like itself to be.
And that election of new, are we assured the two co-chairs that are on leave of absence aren't interested in that role when they come back?
We are not assured, but I'm not sure that that is something that should necessarily be taken into consideration, since their leaves of absence are ongoing and open-ended because of the personal health issues. If anything, I would hate to connect with them and put that on them I want them to focus on themselves. I've been in communication to an extent with both off and on, and I think the council is the least of the things that they're having to wrestle with currently.
Thank you.
All right, thank you. And then I have a question from Richard.
I don't know if this is right, but speaking of membership, I referred someone to Dave Jordan this morning, an African-American gentleman that I know. And so that's
excellent.
You know, we're talking about that now. So hopefully that'll be okay.
Thank you, Richard. That's fantastic.
Thank you. Awesome. If there's no further questions or comments, I'd like to move on to the HHS report. Phil Bloom.
Great. I sort of actually do have a comment, so I wasn't quite quick enough, but if the PWH caucus would like a HHS representative, I'm happy to attend if my schedule permitting, so just send that invite on to me.
Thank you. That would be excellent. That work group has almost always had representation. Kevin Hutchcraft was a representative to there, as well as actually, you know, a member. So Bill, that would be great. We'll make sure. I mean, the notice and the meeting agenda will go out to the full council, of course. So you'll get that as well. Forgive me for not having the exact time. I'll talk to Dave about the time, but I do know it's on the Tuesday before community engagement.
Okay, great. If I can, I will be there. Unless they want, and I think there was at one point there was some conversation that was unaffiliated consumers, but it seems like that's a very previous iteration. So,
very previous. That's not
very previous. For a while.
Okay, I actually, excellent. Bill, I actually think if it's in the invite, if it's known that you're coming, it might be incentive for more people to come.
If you send me the date, I will do my best to arrange meetings, rearrange meetings I have. So as soon as I get the time, I'll let you guys know.
Thank you.
Thanks.
So I'm a little unfamiliar with the process now. Would you like a kind of an abridged version of what I'll be sharing with the full council, or would you guys like the whole thing?
Abridged verbal is usually abridged. By Thomas okay. and Kevin.
Okay. So in terms of funding updates, I'll be sharing the funding for the Part A, that it was a decrease of 102. For the Ryan White Part A Associated Minority AIDS Initiative, I'll be reporting on that amount, which is a reduction of 39K. We also got our Part C, which is flat funded at 328, which was to be expected. It's a non-competitive renewal. And then the good news that our ETE funding was up $667,000. Also be sharing, and I'll give more detail at that, the AIDS Emergency Fund, one of our funded organizations, got another $100,000 from the Dream Keepers, which is the mayor's initiative connected with reallocation of police dollars. In terms of COVID, I'll share about our staff who's deployed and give an update on expanded eligibility, and I'll share the changes that have happened since this was last shared with you all, as well as administrative and community updates. So I'll be sharing about the home visits for the RN for those folks that need that support to get blood draws. And then finally, an update on QM trainings.
Great. Any other questions or any feedback for Bill?
Yes.
Yes, Ken.
I just was waiting to just be called on, sorry. Bill, in the news recently, there's been more discussion about Biden's budget and passing more for, especially ETE, I believe. Is that part of what you're reporting on, or is that down the road that there might be more?
You know, at this point, proposed budget, I could certainly share that. I'm actually, the reason I didn't include it here is it's not a done deal. And, you know, Lee usually presents for CARE Coalition, which is how we hear about that. And he shows up. So I think in the next couple of weeks, there's another CARE Coalition, if I'm remembering correctly. And he can kind of give you the update then. That said, if it feels important to know, I can include it in the report. Just let me know the group's preference.
I just know the interface between any cuts that we got and areas of cuts that might be backfilled if they do in fact pass.
That moves up. Yeah. That's a great question. That's a great question. It would take them a while to move that. Even if it gets, even if it gets allocated, put in the budget, has to go through the entire budget approval process. And then the agencies, the HRSA has to then put it out to us. So it's hard for me to imagine that could all happen before March 1st, which is our next contract year for both the Part A and as well as the ETE, they align those. But certainly if it's looking that way, I'll share with you all, of course, but that would be a wonderful problem to have.
Thank you.
Sure.
Right.
Although I will say, just for you guys to be clear, the cut we got is really small and it's not, it's every, all of the kind of mature, the EMAs that have been around for a long time until they grow the pie, as Ken is mentioning, we're always going to get slight cuts. I don't see a way around that.
Thank you.
All right, cool. Thank you. Next on the agenda, I got the meeting evaluation. I think it's going to be Mark.
All right, I will share screen. One moment. Close all private tabs on my internet browser. One moment there. And we're off. Share screen. All right. Let me reduce you all so I can go through this. All right. So as we see here, go through this. The first question, as far as information being received prior to the meeting and adequate preparation, was 13 agreed, 1 somewhat agreed. It was a total of 14 people who responded. So one more than the prior survey, so small steps. As far as meeting efficiency and by Thomas Noble's facilitation, all agreed that it was run efficiently. The comments were, great job. Someone loved the self-attestation moment. That was great. And Thomas is great. And the one word, fresh, to describe Thomas's performance. We'll make sure to pass that on. He is quite fresh. In the discussion during the meeting, I felt my point of view was adequately expressed and understood. This was 13 said they agreed. 1 said they somewhat agreed. The comments here. It was a little bit of a cramped schedule, and so Q&A was somewhat limited. I hope people followed up with presenters as instructed. We'll see more to that theme in the evaluation comments. And to sort of answer that question posed, yes, there were 2 or 3 people who had follow-up questions. I linked them to the presenters, and their questions were answered that evening. And the second comment was agree, but not much time for expression of points of view, though. The 4th question is, was the agenda well-planned? 9 said yes, they agree. 5 did say they only somewhat agree. Comments were, too many presentations in too little time. Too many presentations. Great agenda, but perhaps we squeezed too much into the time slot. And finally, it was a little tight and would have been good to have more room for questions and discussion after the presentation. The Happen update from Lance Toma and Bill Hirsch was well prepared and relevant to the HCPC. This is the 5th question. All agreed. Comments were, great to get a visual for the presentation. Maybe 1 too many slides, though. Very well done. Great presentation. Surprisingly long presentation. I liked it. The RCFCI update from Bill Music was well prepared and relevant to the HCPC. Is the 6th question. All but 1 agreed. 1 somewhat agreed. The responses were, I felt that the topic deserved more time. Specifically, there was no chance to ask questions. I am left wondering, where will these residents get housed? What are the consequences of this programmatic change to PLWHA? Would appreciate more updates on how the RCFCI progress goes, I assume. Bill was great. Also surprisingly long presentation, but very relevant. Question 7 was on the ETE grantee report from Mingming Kwan and Miguel Ibarra. From the San Francisco Community Health Center, and Craig Esprey from the AIDS Project East Bay. Were these presentations well-prepared and relevant? 13 said they agree. 1 said that they somewhat agree. The first comment was that these presentations would have benefited from more framing, how it fits into ETE and Planning Council's work. That framing was provided, I thought, by Hannah. But maybe I'll give her this feedback as well, since she'll be reappearing on Monday. More feedback. Such important work, and I feel like we can glean some important community engagement processes from them. Thanks for bringing this important presentation to the group, and great presentations, comprehensive. Looking forward to hearing more about ETE projects. The 8th question was, what worked well for you during this meeting? What could have been improved? There were 9 responses. The meeting, start at the top here. Meeting worked well. No issues identified for improvement. Strong presentations. Flexibility in being able to move agenda to keep meeting flowing smoothly. The pacing of the meeting went well. Everything. Conversely, the meeting felt rushed. That would have fit a 2.5-hour time frame. I thought everyone did great. Zoom is challenging to keep our attention. I long for real live people gatherings, multiple exclamation points. I appreciated all the information presented, and it was a lot to take in and process in such a condensed format. And finally, sad no break. Okay. Our 9th question was, my needs as a council member are being met during this time. 13 agreed. 1 said they somewhat agreed. The comments were none. As always, more interaction, more time for questions. And finally, all good here. This meeting was rated 9.4, which is a low score for our evaluations. We usually rank more in the 9.6 to 9.8, but certainly understandable why there are mixed feelings due to the impacted schedule. In many ways, though, the impacted agenda was unavoidable. So I had a certain expectation of lower ratings, and also our hands were tied. We did have a last minute presentation added that was very important. And that was the RCFCI update. And the Happn presentation just turned out to be quite a bit longer than had been previously discussed. Their information was great, though. And we did not get permission from the council to extend the meeting in advance. So had to stay within the 2 hour time frame. So all that said, that meant that Thomas Noble did have quite a job on his hands to make sure that everything got covered, which happened, unfortunately, at the expense of council member interactions, a break, and questions.
Right. Thanks, Mark. Any questions or any comments about the meeting evaluation or things that we should adjust for next meeting? I know for me, I'm going to be providing a little bit more context for the presentation for Monday's meeting by Angel Fabian, which is going to be also about the ETE. And so sort of an ETE project that we actually funded. And so I want to make sure that there's a little bit more kind of sort of explanation on my end as how I, as a person that is sort of coming into this also, with sort of fresh eyes about that, in terms of how we should take this presentation and how to move forward with it as well. Especially since I feel like this is something that is going to be happening more often. And so it's one of those things that we just have to be on top of as well. All right. So moving forward,
On that topic, I'd like to ask since Hannah wanted to be reminded of the flow, mm-hmm. I did remind her in an email, but I just want to go over it again. So the flow of the ET presentation will be you certainly as a facilitator introducing the topic and hopefully providing what you just mentioned, and then actually turning it over to Hannah to provide further context and introduction, who will then hand it over to Angel. And then at the end, if you could also do that brief framing of, please, council members continue to reflect on what was presented here today, because next month we'll be having small group discussions on the efficacy, on the potential of using the secret client model across other services, just so that people have that in their mind. Does that sound good to you, David?
Right. Yeah, that sounds great. And I remember that. Thank you for reminding me, because I came from council affairs. That's right. Great. Great.
Yeah, no worries. And I'll remind you in the moment during chat as well.
All right, Ken, you have a question. Your hand's up.
Yeah. To the extent we can we keep in mind to always kind of give us as much insight as we can on what the current position is about us meeting again? I know the Bay Area, we're hearing good news in many ways, and we're opening up, and it sounds like we may hit the yellow zone or whatever, which would suggest that we could meet again, but it's all up to, I guess, the city. So
I'm not sure we have much more of an update that's anything new. I do follow this fairly closely. The most recent guidelines sent out would potentially apply to the council in a way. The guidelines for indoor meetings, such as the kind that we would have to be in a large enough space that would force us to maintain that actual literal physical distance. It would also, which would be, now here comes the challenge, unfortunately, because these are public meetings. These would all have to be confirmed attendees. Like people, we would have to know who was there in advance. That's the current guidelines. I think those guidelines are actually, they seem to be more geared towards indoor like ticketed activities. So I'm still hoping for a release on city meetings. Perhaps if Bill has more information on that. Even though that said, because this is a public meeting, we actually could not maintain that for now. We have to shift our rules if possible, and that would be a challenge. And we would have to find a place that's certainly larger than the places that we have currently. So I myself do not predict a return to in-person meetings until the actual, until there are further shifts. But the current shift does not seem to allow us to meet in a way that adheres to both the city strictures and to public meeting strictures.
Yeah. And I would like to know how consumers would feel about that, to be honest. So if you could make this like a topic for the next PLWH meeting, to be like, just a temperature of like, how would you all feel comfortable, or not uncomfortable, but just like, what are the parameters of being able to decide of like, if there's a green go, you know, do y'all want to actually meet in person, you know, cause it's one thing to have like, you know, mandated seat people show up, but then it's also, then you have consumers in the mix. And I'd rather just go by like what consumers, you know, what their feelings are about it. Cause you know, they're not being paid to be there.
But I think we can also know that all consumers have already been vaccinated.
Right. Right. And that's what I'm saying. Like, it's, I want to hear what y'all think. You know what I mean? Cause I know if there's an option, I probably will be in my office, to be honest with you. Like, it's just easier for me to just be in my office and get back to work afterwards. So I'd rather hear from consumers about what are their feelings are about it. And also how will they want to move forward when they finally make a decision to meet in person. All right. Any other questions or comments?
Before we move on, I'm wondering if Bill has any insight on this, just as a person who works for the city. Are you aware of any large scale public policy or community type events happening that could potentially include, I'd say minimum, or not minimum, but an average of 40 people without a fixed guest list?
No, I mean, I have, it just got surfaced maybe a month and a half ago, and there wasn't much bandwidth even to look at it. It's a little hard. It's a little hard for me to imagine us looking at that till we get much closer to the magic 80% number of people being vaccinated. But I can't say that's, you know, based on a certain altitude or talking to someone who'd make that decision. It's just hard for me to imagine how we would do that. So I don't think they would get to like a committee level. So I think it's going to be overall in the city.
So Bill would, yeah. The spaces, like the space we normally meet in, is large. It clearly would accommodate any one of our subcommittees and with space. So maybe a first step for us is if we can get that space, we can start back with at least our subcommittees.
Mm-hmm.
You know, which has combination of both face-to-face, and then we have continued Zoom until such time as all the parameters are cut off. Is that a possibility?
You know, I think if we can ensure social distancing, the minimum of 6 feet, and everyone is willing to come with masks on, as long as we provide an option, we could do it. The only cautionary tale I would put out there, Ken, is, so I've been in meetings of 6 people where we're able to distance. I think at a certain point, if you get up beyond 8 or 10, you're gonna have people screaming to be heard unless you mic that. So it may logistically get challenging. You could, if the group wants, you could certainly try it. But yeah, I think we'd want to make sure that we could ensure the distancing and everyone was wearing masks, you know, irregardless at this point of your vaccination status.
Yeah, I think right. This would be, unfortunately, a challenge because I'm not sure what space we could use. The only space that, like the space that we had just switched over, you know, for the full council meetings was at the AIDS Foundation. Now that is a large enough space, not for the full council by any means, but perhaps for a committee, if we used up the entire space, we would run into that situation that Bill mentions as far as like communication would be a challenge. But I think people could fit in there. However, whether the foundation allows that at this point is another question entirely. Most agencies at this point have frozen those kinds of above 6-person type meetings. And so that itself is another challenge.
So the Van Ness meeting space is no longer available for us?
Oh, it is being it could be used. I think the other issue that we'd want to do just to be extra protective of our members is we probably want to make sure that the HVAC filtration system, both the capacity of the air exchange, the ratio of fresh air to recycled air and the filters. Don't ask me how I know more about this than I wish I did know, but it relates to COVID is a secret. So I think we'd want to also double check that to make sure we're in a building with a good HVAC system.
Yeah, and I think also in the past we've had a lot of challenges with the spaces we have used with having mixed participation. So with live, microphoned, and then video has been a challenge before. And so I think we've done our best so far to have that happen. But I think the last person that videoed in might have been Thomas, actually. Thomas had been the last person, and there were already like a lot of technical challenges with having him present and then having them like listen, because it was a lot. And I think there was like holding a microphone to a phone. It was just a lot. So but I remember that has been a challenge as well.
We're talking about, for instance, the PLWH group is a good example.
Mm-hmm.
There doesn't need to be Zooming on that if we meet mm-hmm. in person. And we met in a place like our former meeting at 25 Van Ness, which is a huge space. So this is what I'm saying. Baby steps. Mm-hmm. A first time might be something worth considering.
Yeah. Thanks. You can make a note of that, actually. Yeah, for sure. All right.
Looks like Richard has...
Again, I have you. Oh, I'm sorry, he does? Oh, sorry. Yes, Richard, go ahead.
Yeah, not to beat a dead horse, but the way I kind of been envisioning this, the city's allowing us to... I attend in-person AA meetings up in church halls on 7th Ave and stuff. They're letting 25 of us into rooms spaced. I live with HIV. I've been doubly vaccinated. So, but as far as the council and stuff, the subgroups, maybe we do, like Ken said, we take baby steps and we find rooms for those 12 or 10 people meetings. People want to ease into those. And maybe like full council meetings at 25 Van Ness. Maybe at the beginning they could be split like we did with the AA fellowship as hybrid meetings. Those who choose to stay away can, if there's a Zoom application live, and then, you know, people that want to attend in person, they're hybrid. So like Ken said, baby steps, start small, but I it's just gonna take time, but it's happening.
Yeah, I agree that the process will definitely need to open up to committees first, right? That will be in some ways our test run. Richard, I don't know if we'll be able to use Zoom for committees, and that'll be to me the challenge there. But in person, in a large enough space with a group that's less than, as you mentioned, a 25 people, certainly far less than that for the spaces that I'm thinking of, I think will be the route we eventually take to test this, you know? And we have four different ones to do that with, in addition to PLWH eventually.
Yeah. All right. Is that it for this? Let's table that for now because we get closer to summer.
Yeah. I mean, I also want to point out one thing too, that vaccination is important for sure, but I don't think we should necessarily assume that everyone will be vaccinated. And we should also put in council staff in that mix as well. All right.
Right. Great points, actually. Full council agenda. I think this is the last one, right?
All right. Let me share screen. All right. So the jam-packed agenda, but hopefully it's not going to be anywhere near as jam-packed as before. We have our pro forma 1 through 6, with the 6th one being general updates. Thank you, Bill, for taking over the updates from Kevin Hutchcroft for HHS and CPG. See if I can mute him. I have added Richard Sullivan to provide an update for the initial meeting of the ETE steering committee. Richard, just expect to see your name always on this update. Since you now are representing an active outside external stakeholder. After that, we have a short update from Manuel Vasquez from MOHCD, in some ways connected to RCFCI, but not at the same time. It's just that these pieces of information have been processed at the same time in different places. We'll have a break, a return to the break, 5 minutes only. If for some reason we make up time and it can be longer. And then we have our two presentations, and unfortunately they are getting at least a half hour each. We have a 35 minute one from Angel, and that is the one that was previewed by Council Affairs and the one we just discussed. After that, we'll have our annual report from Stephen. And so, of course, the more that we get through in the first half, the more time we'll have for these two very interesting presentations. So just for us to keep in mind.
Great. And then I see, Richard, you have your hand up.
Nope, I guess.
Oh,
that was a leftover hand.
Okay, great. Any other feedback for the full council agenda for the meeting? So Mark, based on last meeting feedback, will this be a super packed meeting as well?
It's going to be packed, but it's not going to be as packed. The main difference is that the last meeting had two short presentations that went long, that went longer than what we had actually given them time for, which was 10 to 15 minutes each. And the last meeting had two regular size presentations. In this meeting, we have two regular size presentations and only one short presentation. And that short presentation, I've given a more realistic amount of time, and that's the full 20 minutes. You will have to be strict with that 20 minutes. And so if there's any presentation that needs to in some ways be either cut off or more likely Q&A cut off, it should be that one. And that would be the one where people can just connect with me directly or in chat to get their questions over to Manuel. Manuel is super responsive. I bet he'd respond just that.
Okay.
Because any time you make will just be added to the ETE presentation from Angel and also for Stephen. So if we can make up time, fabulous. And in the end, you know, we can always sacrifice the break if we go over, but my hope is that we don't go over, that we actually save time. We'll see.
Right.
It's definitely all less right,
I'll remind meeting participants to, if they want to use the chat box, and if they want a further engagement, they can always reach out to staff to relay those messages to the presenters.
Yeah. And you know, though, you do have in your back pocket, if there does seem like there's going to be a big discussion about Angel's presentation, is that we're actually going to be going into small groups next month.
Next week.
So that's another one you can curtail. I would just hate to see the HCAP annual report curtailed, because people usually have thoughts on that very important information that they're seeing.
Right. Sounds good. Any other feedback or comments about the full council agenda? Okay, great. Next, I got meeting dates and agenda times. Okay, yeah, that's it for the meeting. The next steering committee meeting will be May 19th, 4:00, and that's it. Any other questions or comments before we split? All right, great. Thank you all for attending. I'll see you all on Monday. Thanks a lot. Have a good weekend.
Have a good afternoon, everyone, and a good weekend.
Thanks, everyone.
Thank you.
Doing well.